Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite day of the week. It is Fri-yay, and my favorite part of the afternoon, spending time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. So wherever you are, whatever you are doing, if you're heading into a fun weekend or a working weekend or a traveling weekend or sports, I know there's a lot of Friday night lights that are going on at this time of the year. Please know that we are praying for you. We appreciate everything that you are doing to try to be a good influence on your family and to be countercultural in a world that is really desperately trying to grab the attention and the hearts and minds of this generation. It can be harder and harder to be an influential voice for good. But we have encouragement for you today because despite what we may experience in our self-doubts, thinking, are our kids really listening to us? Does our family really care what we think about? We know from research that that is the truth, that the most influential relationships are those of our close family, and especially those of parent and child. As children grow, their brain is something called neuroplastic. It is literally remoldable, which is great because it means when we mess up, there is hope to make that okay. And as we get older and literally set in our ways and our brains get set in our ways, it becomes harder for us to recover. It becomes harder for us to be resilient. But our kids can do that. And so today is Friday, Fri-yay, as my kids always say, and we have all adopted here. But it is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I am going to answer questions that I've gotten from listeners. And listen, this last week, I've gotten a lot of questions. There is a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of uncertainty. And most of the questions that I get are usually related to technology. So we will continue to address those issues of social media, cell phones, all those things that we are trying so hard as parents to learn all the things. But the most common question that I have gotten this week is about Taylor Swift's social media endorsement of Vice President Harris in the presidential race. And I promised I would address that today. So let's do it. Now, some of you are like, okay, we've already seen this take over football and I'm sick of hearing about this. I know. But this is a really real issue that a lot of parents are really wrestling with. So let's just be patient and let me walk through this, because if you've been following along since the beginning of January, you know that every week I have introduced a new healthy habit. If you've missed out on those, you can go to the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. You can find those on AFR.net or any podcast platform, and you can catch up and see all of those things that we're doing that are really science-backed, research-focused, that are spiritually sound. These are just the basic building blocks of a healthy family. We're talking about things like prayer, committing scripture to memory, plugging into a church, listening intentionally to uplifting Christian music, practicing gratitude, listening with your face, having a bedtime routine. I mean, we go on and on that we're up to week 38 this week. And this week, the healthy habit that we are talking about is being an influencer and influencing your family. In a world that is saturated with influencer culture, we have the greatest privilege on earth that God has given us to influence those people we care the most about, the people, the family we love, the children we're raising, the spouses that God has given us. And we have to be intentional about that because we have competition. There is a lot of competition in influencer culture. So let's explore this concept of influencer culture together, okay? Since ancient history, celebrity culture has been embraced by the public. Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun. And I agree. You may have heard of the TikTok trend called the Roman Empire. Have you heard of this? If not, let me catch us all up. It's basically a viral video series that has about 2 billion views. And essentially what happens is women ask men, the men in their lives, they do a little video and say, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And the trend is based on the idea that men think about the Roman Empire more often than women, and that women are shocked by how much the men in their lives think about it. Now, the instructive point here is that the influence of Roman culture is largely present in our everyday lives without us even realizing it. I know my pastor actually talks about this a lot and talking about how secular Roman culture was, and there are so many parallels between that and life today. And actually, recently I was traveling in England, yes, across the pond, and I visited a city called Chester, England. It's a smallish sort of town. It's just outside of Liverpool. And fun fact, it houses a place called Chester Cathedral, and that is where Handel's Messiah was rehearsed before it debuted in Dublin, Ireland in 1742. And thinking, you know, that is 1742, it's always amazing to go to other places in the world that have such a long ancient culture, because that was before the Declaration of Independence, right? But I knew I wanted to see that. I wanted to see Chester Cathedral when we visited, but I had no idea that I was going to walk on Roman walls constructed in about AD 70 to get there. I wasn't expecting that. It was pretty surreal to walk on walls that were built just after the death of Christ here on earth as Romans expanded their empire. But if we think back even to biblical times, celebrity culture was present. The Israelites wanted a king. They wanted a figurehead, an earthly character that they could celebrate and revere. And we saw that in Saul, talking even about his stature, about how tall he was. And we see the emergence of politicians and playwrights and performers and athletes and even saints who are celebrated throughout history across cultures. Leonidas of Rhodes was a runner. And did you know that he actually held the record for the most Olympic wins in history? Now, he got 12 medals over 4 Olympic Games between, okay, are you ready for this? You're not going to mishear me. 164 BC and 152 BC. And he held that record until 2016, when Michael Phelps surpassed him. And that's one of the reasons why people talked about Michael Phelps so much, because they were still thinking about this Olympic athlete they were holding up from 164 BC. That is incredible to me. And it's interesting because for the most part, when we look at ancient celebrities and celebrity culture, their life goal was to be remembered after their life was over. They wanted to make an impact on the world that would outlive them. They looked at building a legacy that would last. And even for this athlete in the Olympics, it did for a long time until 2016. But today's celebrities, they really want a claim in the here and now. You rarely hear a celebrity talking about what they want to be remembered for, although I'm sure they think about that. But the rise of digital media has really transformed celebrity culture as we knew it into the realm of influencer culture. And some people are both celebrities and influencers at the same time. But influencer culture in the digital realm is a 21st century phenomenon, and it is an absolute reality for our kids. We have new terms that we're learning, and I recently learned these new terms called nano influencer. Now, that's a person with less than 10,000 followers. And then we have micro influencers, influencing people between 10 and 100,000 people. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. This is the message that we're giving to kids, that if you influence between 10 and 100,000 people, you are a micro influencer. That's such a small word. And it's really a twisting of the values that we have when, even if we have the privilege of influencing one person for good, for Christ. That is worthy. That is valuable. Influencing our family, whether that's one other person in your family, or you've got a bunch of kids or a bigger family, this is the kind of values framework we're giving to today's kids. Now, a macro influencer, that term is reserved for people who have a quote unquote large social media following of millions. That's over 100,000 people. But you know what the funny thing is about influencer culture is a lot of these influencers, whether nano, micro, or macro, they are unrecognizable to the general public. So, for example, you may have seen in the news, former President Trump has engaged with a lot of these kinds of influencers. So these are people who may have millions of followers like Aiden Ross or Lex Friedman. But if you're in an older generation like me, you probably said, wait, who is that? I've never heard of that person. And yet they have millions of followers on social media. And we're seeing a real shift in the media and the way that kids are absorbing media. So, you know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, the television had maybe five channels, right? And you didn't have a remote control and you had to get up and actually change the channel, you know, move the dial or push the button, maybe even adjust the rabbit ears on top of your TV with the foil, right? And then we had the introduction of cable where, you know, I don't know about you, but the first time I ever went to a friend's house with cable, I thought, are you kidding me? Like, you can watch any of this? We actually didn't have cable, my husband and I, until our kids were way older. We actually lived and survived and parented without cable. I know, we've lived to tell the tale. But now we have kids who quite literally don't watch TV. What they do is they watch YouTube on the television, if they're even watching it. They screencast from their phones, but they very rarely watch a TV show. In fact, my son got in my car not too long ago and he looked at me and said, Mom, I think you're the only person I know who actually like listens to the radio, like playing live, like you're not streaming anything. And I said, okay, well, did you just call me old? That kind of hurts a little bit. But if my sons want to watch something, they may watch something on YouTube where they're consuming all of this content from influencers. And this is kind of the scary thing because anybody can get on there and make content and become popular, and it's really unpredictable. You never know how someone will catch that wave of celebrity. And this is the landscape facing Gen Z and Gen Alpha today. Influencer culture is celebrity culture on steroids, and it's pervasive. So let me give you some stats here. As of just this month, Khaby LeMay, which many of you probably are thinking, who even is that? Because then you're probably in my generation if you're thinking that. But his claim to fame is just this month, he became the most followed person in the world on TikTok. He has 162, give or take, million followers. He's just a social media personality from Senegal who makes comedy videos in Italian and English. And he just surpassed the previous title holder, who was Charli D'Amelio, whose claim to fame was simply being a girl on social media making fun dance videos. But you know how much money she earned in 2021? $17 million. So our kids see this and they think these are just regular people who start making content, they go viral, and then they make $17 million. And just behind her is Mr. Beast with over 100 million followers on TikTok, but he is the most followed person in the world on YouTube. He has 316 million subscribers on YouTube. And I don't know how much money he makes, but he makes enough to do extravagant stunts like giving away $450,000 just because. Ryan Trahan is also really popular. He's got about 171 million subscribers on YouTube with viral videos like the Penny Challenge series. And by the way, he has been very vocal about his conversion from atheism to Christianity and the hope that he's found in his faith. So this allure, again, is telling our kids, hey, ordinary people can become famous and then they have a big platform. And we'll talk about that. Is the influence of these celebrities, these influencers, really making a difference? We'll be right back.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
When you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying, don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door, let your knees
Welcome back, friends. That is Don't Stop Praying by Matthew West, and I couldn't say it better myself. Don't stop praying, friends. Do not stop praying in a world where we feel overwhelmed, we feel discouraged, we feel like, what is the world coming to? What hope is there for our kids? Don't stop praying. And today is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and I'm trying to answer questions that I've gotten from listeners. And a lot of questions this week are about influencer cultures and how do we influence our kids' worldview? And we're talking about the endorsement of influencers like Taylor Swift and others who have tried to leverage that influencer power that they have to influence our kids and what they do. And the good news, let me give you the spoiler right up front, is that no one has more influence over your family than you. And we are stewards of that influence. We can influence them for good or for harm. But if we are intentional, if you are following the Lord, if you don't stop praying and keep asking God for His mercies that are new every morning, we have the incredible privilege of being very powerful influencers in our kids' lives. And so often, I think, as parents, a more comfortable place for us is micromanaging their behavior. We want to influence their behavior. And when they have good behavior, when they make choices that are consistent with our values, when they have behaviors that show that, you know, hey, I'm listening, that is an immediate gratification that we feel like, hey, we're doing a good job as parents. But sometimes some messages take longer to grow. Some habits take longer to cultivate. Planting and harvesting do not happen in the same season. And I've heard from so many of you who are just in a tough season. You're in a season of struggle and of discouragement and heartbreak. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Know that planting and harvesting don't happen in the same season. And some of these seeds that you plant, you may not see grow for 1 year or 5 years or 10 years or maybe decades or more. We start planting those seeds in our children when they're born. And then they're not grown until they're 20-ish, right? It depends on their life circumstances, but we are such a constant presence throughout those early adult years. Don't give up and know that if you really invest your time and energy in that way, it will pay dividends because God is faithful to do that and you will reap what you have sown. So today we're talking about influencer culture. And before the break, I was giving some perspective just about how pervasive this is. And even if you think, Well, my kids don't have a social media account. They don't watch YouTube. Unless they're living under a rock, they know someone who does. And this is just all around, even thinking of going to the grocery store and you hear music playing. I mean, you can know and memorize songs just from shopping in the grocery store and walking down the aisle. And you think, how do I know that song? Well, it was playing in the grocery store aisle. And again, as I was saying before the break, the allure of influencer culture is that ordinary people become famous by leveraging the power of digital media. All they do is create content that resonates with wide audiences. And what resonates the best is authenticity. They are looking for what seems authentic. But the irony of this is that most of it is actually not authentic. So there are mixed messages that are very confusing for kids. However, having said that, the power of influencers today should not be underestimated. Influencers absolutely do shape consumer behavior. They initiate trends. They change cultural norms. They can create new vocabulary. In 2022, influencer culture was estimated to direct $16 billion in purchasing power. That is double what it was in 2019. And so you wonder the motivation for advertisers, for cartoons, what they really want to do, what they really want to influence the most is your child's and yours purchasing power. They want to influence your priorities and your desires to satiate those things for, oh, I deserve that. Oh, you deserve it. Treat yourself. I mean, treat yourself was a very big social media trend that came like, hey, you deserve it. Get it. But that dark side of influencer culture is the negative impact on mental health. You can see countless stories of people saying, hey, being intensely scrutinized constantly by millions of people who think that they know me, but they don't, is really, really destructive. There is constant pressures to be authentic. There are dangers affiliating with someone who commits a cancelable offense. And when you live your life online all the time, you're bound to make a mistake. You're bound to misspeak. And that happens. And that brings us back to the influence of Taylor Swift. Now, I've talked about this before, and I want to say, hear me loud and clear up front. I am not endorsing her. I am not condoning her. I am not promoting her. I am, though, acknowledging the reality of the struggle that I have personally heard from so many families. And for some families, this is just not a struggle. And if that is you and that is your family, that is fantastic. Some families, this is a really big struggle. Every family has different circumstances, and I'm acknowledging the reality of that. So one of the things that I've talked about before is that it really is hard to ignore the media juggernaut that surrounds her. And let's look at, for example, her latest album, The Tortured Poets Department. And the facts about her are really jaw-dropping. So let me just give you some facts. Her current international concert tour, the Eras Tour, which is about to come to an end, is the first musical event to gross more than $1 billion. Now, I know I have seen personally on neighborhood social media at people paying thousands of dollars to go to for one single ticket. Now, her music streamed more than 26 billion times on Spotify alone in a single year. That was just 2023 on just one platform. She holds 118 Guinness World Records. A little more than half of American adults identify as fans. 16% say they are avid fans, also called Swifties. And these statistics honestly do put her in the realm of influence of Elvis and the Beatles, but we are in a different world than Elvis and the Beatles, because we are in a digital influencer culture, not just a celebrity culture. There is a lot more power and a lot more danger there, honestly. And when I have talked and answered questions before, I've talked about the themes that are in her songs. And so Tortured Poet Departments, for example, 7 of the first 15 tracks are explicit. We're talking about things like suicide infidelity, abuse, revenge, loneliness, betrayal, and lyrics saturated in profanity. And that is, we really need to be thoughtful about unfiltered streaming of such heavy, angsty, thematic concepts. And the truth that we really need to acknowledge here is that her community is real and conversation is occurring in that space. And a simple, no, you can't listen to that does not adequately equip our daughters and our sons, honestly, to face cultural saturation and discussions that are occurring in their peer circles. It's very easy to condemn something. It's very easy to say, you know, I don't agree with that. That is wrong. It's very easy to say those kinds of truths. The hard thing is influencing, and that is where it's difficult. And as parents, we have the incredible privilege of initiating and directing that influence that we have in our kids' lives. And research shows that despite all of our self-doubts, that we as parents are the most influential force in shaping our kids' worldview. And we can do that in a positive way where their worldview almost always will align with ours if we are investing in healthy relationships. And this is something that I really think that we have to acknowledge. The truth is that Taylor Swift's lyrics are reflective of realities facing teen girls today. They are relatable, or it wouldn't be so gravitationally powerful. And the pull there is community. Her fans spend hours and hours dissecting hidden meanings in her lyrics, and that's intentional because those searchers find community with other searchers. And that is what those young listeners are really looking for, to be seen, to be known, to be loved, and to know they are not alone. I said at the top of the show, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And even as the wisest man in the world, he struggled to find meaning in life. So we must join our children in their search and point them not to a temporary hope that comes from secular lyrics, but to a hope that doesn't disappoint, a God who promised to never leave them, never forsake them, a joy that comes in the morning to give beauty for ashes. And when we read in Deuteronomy 6, it says, impress these things on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. We are instructed in Philippians 4 to teach our children to dwell on whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So intentionally engaging our children in meaningful conversation will go a really long way in shaping a biblical worldview. So a lot of questions are being asked are, what are the impacts of these kinds of endorsements? Well, the news did report this week that following that endorsement, there were more than 400,000 visitors to vote.gov in the 24 hours after that announcement. But an ABC News poll released just this week, which I know we all have to take polls with a grain of salt, but let's just take this one with a grain of salt. It found just 6% of U.S. adults report being influenced by that endorsement. 13 said it made them more likely to support. 81% said, you know what, it makes no difference. And I see a lot of people saying, well, that's just not going to influence how I vote. And what I'm seeing is that many Taylor Swift fans, many other young fans of contemporaries, of contemporary influencers, of stars, of performers, their mistake is that they are doing a horizontal comparison and they are comparing peer to peer. And they find offense when there are contemporaries like other stars who are literally distributing birth control at their concerts and handing it out. But the truth is, we have to encourage our kids to make a vertical comparison, not choosing the lesser of two evils, but choosing the greater good according to the plumb line of God's word. And the truth is that parents, you've heard me say it again and again, you have the potential for the greatest influence over your children. And as parents, we have the incredible privilege of stewarding the development of our children's worldview. And my question to you is, are you being intentional about that? Are you thinking about it? Have you thought about what influence you are having on your children? Now, we think about things like providing their food and, you know, nurturing them emotionally and all of those things, and that's important. But have you really said, how am I influencing my children? What habits of mine are they picking up? How are they watching me? Because children do what we do so much more than they do what we say. And to best influence them, here is the hard truth, parents. We have to start by viewing the world as they see it. Now, that doesn't mean we agree with it. That doesn't mean we even have to like it. In fact, there are a lot of things about it that I literally hate. And I don't hate much, but there are some things that are evil in the world that I really hate about this world. We must acknowledge the reality of what kids are facing today. We cannot, as much as we want to, make the world the way it was when we were growing up, no matter how hard we try. We all bemoan the losses of past generational heritage, and we all cringe when influencers post videos where young people cannot name the president of the United States, but they can name all the Kardashians. And the way to build our children's worldview, though, is by building and strengthening relationships with them centered on Christ so we can be their guide on the side. Do you remember the days before smartphones and GPS? I'm talking Rand McNally. I'm talking stopping at the gas station for directions. I know these kinds of things horrify Gen Z, but that's how we survived. This is the way in which our children need direction. I want you to imagine the old days of getting lost and pulling over and finding a payphone, getting a quarter, and calling someone asking for directions. And the first question the other person says on that line is, "Where are you?" Then they give directions from that place. That's what we must do with our kids. We cannot stick our heads in the sand and ignore the realities facing our kids. We need to lift their eyes from making a horizontal comparison to finding the lesser of two evils or the greater good, and train them to make a vertical comparison of using the plumb line of God's word to guide their thoughts, their feelings, their actions, and even their vote. And in this world where anything goes, where truth is relevant and things change in an instant, what a comfort to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His standards and values never change, and we can trust them to guide us as we influence our family. When we come back, I'll walk you through my 4-step communication model to start conversation to influence your family, and I'll share some thoughts from my daughter on Gen Z voting. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Jesus is my healer. He's everything I need. He alone has triumphed over sickness and disease. Fear, where is your my healer.
has won the victory.
Welcome back, friends. What an encouraging message. Jesus is our healer. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, mentally, Jesus is the healer. He knows you, he sees you, and he loves you, and he has won the victory. And I love that song, Jesus My Healer by Jesse Harris, featuring Gateway Worship. A great message for us today. And when we're asking God to heal our country and heal the divisions that are there in our families and our homes and our government everywhere, it just seems like we are in need of healing. And we're talking today on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday about influence and influencing your families. I've been challenging you to say, have you thought intentionally about the way that you are influencing your family? All of us as parents, we are all imperfect, and we all influence our families for good and for bad. Sometimes we influence them by saying, hey, let's have a not so healthy meal. I'm going to sit here and eat junk food on the couch. Why don't you join me? And if that's every once in a while, that's okay. But we can also give them our bad habits and our good habits. That's why we must be intentional. This is the habit that we're talking about this week. We're on habit number 38. Every week we've been talking about a new habit. If you've missed the past ones, go to the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. They're just 1 minute little spots that tell you about the habit, and you can do a little assessment of your family and see what you're doing. Most of the time on Fridays, I'm talking in more in depth about that habit. And this week's habit is, how do we influence our kids? In a world of influencer culture, where influencers are constantly telling them what to stream, what to buy, where to go, who to follow, how to vote, how do we cut above all of that noise? Well, I think that we do that by loving our family. We do that with love. Love. God is love, and God has given us his love in our hearts. And I have created, when I wrote my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, what I found was that if you have a paradigm shift, and if you shift your focus from being so worried about all of the threats that are coming into our family and being fear-based and letting your head be jerked around so much by things that are grabbing your heart and causing you fear, and you try to become an expert on all the things, like we have to know about human trafficking, we have to know about fentanyl and Halloween candy and all of the things that really scare us that we see on the news. Well, the secret that I'm going to let you in on is, if you reshift your focus and put that into building relationships, I am convinced there is no threat. There is no trial, there is no trouble, there is no challenge that you cannot overcome together without God's help. I frequently quote a verse from Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And even if you're walking through a challenging season, if you have the faith to know that God may have allowed that circumstance in your life, or that he will use circumstances in your life that are so difficult for your good, that is a place where we can rest our faith. And the model that I've given to facilitate conversations about those tough things that we go through is called love, L-O-V-E. I've talked about it before, but not in quite a while. And I thought, this is a great day to revisit this, because this is what we need to be doing. Instead of lecturing our kids, we need to be talking to our kids and initiating conversation here. And that can be really, really hard. So when you're thinking, how do I influence my family? Let's talk about that, because you can't lecture your way to leverage behavioral change. You can't. You can't argue your way into right relationship. You can't insist your way into influencing a worldview. We have to heed the words of scripture with our families. We have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So L-O-V-E, let's start with L, listen with your face. I'm going to say this so many times, listen with your face, listen with your face, listen with your face. And so often we don't listen with our face. We have our face in our phones. We are looking around at screens around us. We're looking around at the dinner we're cooking, the road we're driving on, the store that we're in. We are distracted. And if you find yourself having to say, I am listening, when you are having a conversation and someone in your family is saying, hey, you're not listening. So often our prideful selves will say, I am listening. And then you know what we do? We cite back everything that that person just said, just to prove I am right. I was listening to you. And the question for you is, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be in right relationship? And what that person is saying is not, you weren't listening to me. You didn't hear me. They're saying, I don't feel heard. I don't feel seen. I don't feel known. I don't feel understood. I don't feel connected. How many times have you been out in public where we're not looking at each other? We immediately pull out our phones. If you're at a kid's sporting game, if you're at a school event, and I do it too. The pull of the doom scroll is very, very compelling. And we often miss out on the life that's happening right in front of us because we're too busy trying to curate the image, which is called image crafting, by the way, image craft our own lives on our phones. And we're missing the precious gift of real people who are standing right in front of us. So resist that urge to say, yes, I heard everything. Commit to listening intently. Give your family the gift of your whole face. That is how you're going to influence them. Make eye contact. I've said it before, when you make eye contact with someone for at least 20 seconds, particularly our family members, those who love us, it causes our brain to secrete chemicals that are feel-good chemicals and bonding chemicals. It's a God-given advantage. They feel seen. Okay, I am known. I am safe with this person. Put your phone down. Don't hold anything in your hands. Don't interrupt. Don't roll your eyes and sigh. You don't like it when your kids do that. But you know what? We do that to them all the time. When they try to tell us about an influencer that they're watching, we immediately cross our arms. Really? Really? Oh, well, that's stupid. You know, we can say things that are so harsh like that. But try your best to keep a neutral expression, no matter what they share, no matter how much you want to jump in, no matter how much you think, I don't agree with this, and reflect back what you hear, starting with, okay, what I'm hearing you say is, and then say what they're hearing you say. And then if you get that right, and it may feel awkward when you do it at first, but if you get that right and you say, what I'm hearing you say is that you really like this person's music, it's like a light bulb will go on in their face and they'll say, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Or they may say, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. You're missing the point of what I'm giving. So just having that little bit of validation to clarify if you really do understand what they are trying to say is so instructive. So L, listen with your face. Okay. Now, sometimes I've done this driving down the road with my kids and I've literally pulled over and somewhere safe into a parking lot. And I've said, hold that thought. And then I turn to them, I give them my whole face and I say, this sounds important. I want to make sure you have my whole face. You have my whole attention. All right. Next is O, offer open-ended questions. Again, as parents, as family members, as husbands, as wives, as grandparents, as parents of adult children, we so often lead with lecturing, where people will share something with us and we just start on a diatribe. Well, this is the way, the reason the world is the way that it is. And we give our little elevator speech, and especially when we hear things we don't like or we disagree with, and we also do this and we get angry. And it makes our family want to disengage. They don't, that's not an attractive or compelling way to present our view. Resist that urge to lecture. And instead of saying statements, offer open-ended questions instead. Seek understanding. Gain their trust. Specific questions. I've got tons of specific questions in this book and behind closed doors. If you're thinking, what kind of questions do I even ask? I have dozens and dozens for you in here. And don't ask yes or no or rhetorical questions. So questions, I do not mean questions like, what are you thinking? Or, you know, what in the world? Like, there is just no safe answer there. Ask open-ended questions. How does this make you feel? What do you think about this? What are you planning to do? What do you think is the best course of action? What is the hardest thing that's facing you there? How do you see this playing out? Offer open-ended questions. That's L, listen with your face. O, offer open-ended questions. V is validate their feelings. Now, your family member, they might be wrong in their thought process, but their feelings in and of themselves are not wrong. As a parent, as a spouse, our nonverbal behavior is so much more meaningful than our words. So if we're asking a question saying, how do you feel about that? That's much different than sighing heavily, folding our arms, tilting our head with a look that says, really? And saying, well, how do you feel about that? It's so important to deliver that in a way that's open. So as hard as it is, try really hard to maintain a neutral posture. Keep your arms down by your side. Keep open hands, open eyes, and open heart. And remember that Jesus had emotions. He got angry. He also got scared and sad and tired and frustrated. Now, Jesus was perfect and we are not. But emotions are human feelings that need to be named and claimed. And this approach enables you to address behaviors in a way that your teen or your child or your spouse can better receive. For example, so let's say that there's a child who didn't study and they come home and they're really upset and they made a bad grade. It's very easy for us to say, well, I told you. That's no surprise. I told you that would happen. This is the consequence of your action. But starting with saying something like, I can see this is upsetting to you. It never feels good to make a bad grade. That acknowledges their feelings without validating their poor choice. You didn't say that they should, that it was okay, that they didn't study. You just said, you acknowledge that it's upsetting. And if you give a measure of sympathy, then your family member is much more likely to be open to a discussion of natural consequences. And those natural consequences are usually better than anything that we can dream up on our own. So, are you following along? We have three steps out of four. Listen with your face, L. Offer open-ended questions, O. V, validate their feelings. And now we're at E, explore next steps together. I'm telling you, this is the what God has given me as a new skill set. I knew when my oldest daughter turned 13 and we were having perpetual conflict, I was going to need a new mindset and a new skill set. And this is the skill set that he was gracious to give me. And just by changing the way I communicate, now I can communicate with my family, with my own children, with other children. This is the relationship bridge that I build to open up that communication. E is explore next steps together. So we have L-O-V-E now, loving your family, love your family. And when issues arise during that conversation, when issues about which you disagree, about what music you should stream, what video you should watch, what influencer is directing your vote, then decide those next steps together. The more investment, especially kids and older kids have in creating that plan, the more they will engage. Having them be an active partner in creating an action plan can help strengthen your relationship. And so talk to them about, how are you influenced? Let me share with you how I am influenced and how what sources of information I'm finding trustworthy. And again, pointing them back to that scripture about thinking about what is noble and praiseworthy and all of those things. And other messages that we can give to them are words from God's word. And I want to end with five affirmations I want to speak over you. Yes, I'm talking to you. These are words today to remind you not just who you are, but whose you are. Psalm 86:5 tells us you are forgiven. Galatians 5:1 says you are set free. Colossians 3:12 says you are beloved. Ephesians 2:10 says you are a masterpiece. And Psalm 17:8, this is one of my favorites, you are the apple of God's eye. In today's world, there are many words spoken over us by influencers with hate, anger, contempt, and loathing. And many of those words spoken over us honestly sometimes come from our very own mouths. as our self-talk can direct some of our most vicious thoughts and words. But God loves you, and He gives us a hope for tomorrow, and we can influence our families and our world for good. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you, and may He give you peace in this world. And I'll see you right back here on Monday, where we'll continue to find more hope for healthy families. I'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.